You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
Hi, church. It's good to be up here. It's a privilege to speak to you tonight. If I'm honest, this is not my comfort zone. it's always a stretch for me to bring the word and be up in front. But Paul spoke several weeks ago on just saying yes to God. And that hit me, and it spoke to me. And I want to try to do that. And let me tell you, when you say yes to God, you're going to be out of your comfort zone. And you're going to be needing to trust Him and to rely on Him and to believe that He can use you. And that's where I am right now, all right? So the crux of an issue is the main point, the center theme. It's like the bullseye, right? If there's a disagreement, the crux is something that you disagreed about. The crux of tonight's preach is God. He's the main theme. He's the guy I'm going to talk about, and He's worthy of your worship. I know you've heard this, but tonight, through the entire preach, God is worthy of your worship, all right? I've been praying that the Holy Spirit, I've been on my knees for tonight, will increase in you a desire to ponder, to worship, and to celebrate Christ Jesus. And I've been praying that the Holy Spirit will give you a gift to you, a greater awareness of Christ, a greater understanding of Christ, and greater intimacy with Him, where you feel, you experience a touch that brings you to tears. How are we going to get there tonight? Well, we're going to watch a short video clip. It's like 3.5 minutes. And it describes the character and goodness of Jesus Christ. How do you do that? How do you describe the character and goodness of Jesus Christ in our language? I mean, really, how can you do that? It's literally impossible, right? We've got our words. We've got our vocabulary. But this guy, it's S.M. Lockridge. He's dead. But he does a pretty good job at it. And we'll let that video speak to you. After that, what I'm going to do is state an attribute of God, then I'm going to define that attribute, okay? And then after that, I'm going to read Scripture. We're going to have a lot of Scripture tonight, but with hopefully a bit of a different twist to that Scripture. And then we're going to close in worship. So let's go ahead, Eugene.
The Bible says my King is the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And He's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know Him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define His limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know Him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know Him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges fetters. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king.
Who's seen that before? Okay. I can watch things like that about 80 million times and never get tired of it. It brings me to tears most of the time. All right, so Mark, now we're going to go to the attributes, all right? Mark chapter 12, verse 30 reads, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Galatians 3, verse 11 says, "The righteous shall live by faith." God created you, right? He knitted you together, says the Word of God, and He gave us brains. He's limitless, we're limited, but tonight I'm going to ask you to think as I read these attributes and to ponder and to allow yourself to be amazed by the God that we're gathering in the name of tonight, the God that we serve, the God that we sacrifice for, the God that we love the unlovable for. Allow yourself. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will come in and you're going to go, oh, there will be a revelation of his magnitude and his impact in your life and in the world. And then we live by faith. I just want to read this out of Hebrews. Mark did a great job on faith a few weeks ago. He preached on faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. The conviction of things not seen. That's how we walk daily. Who here has seen God? Would you like to see God? You would? You're flat on our face every occasion. I would like to see God. If that were to happen, and that could happen, don't close that door. It's happened in the past. It could still happen. Don't ever shut that door. Have that kind of faith. If we encounter God, or He chooses to encounter us, He will give us the capacity to be before Him. It's just the way it goes. And your life will be radically different after that. Absolutely. That's what happens when we come into contact, or through the whole Bible. That's what happens when he visits you. All right, so attributes of God. Most of these require faith, and some we can share in, all right? Number one, self-existent. Not caused by anything else, not owing his existence to anyone else. And I have scriptures in here. They're not up there, but I've got them if you want to check. Self-sufficient. He's perfect, containing all things in himself without lack of need or defect in any attribute. Invisible. God is spirit. Infinite. God is limitless. Immortal. Eternal. Fills all time. The creator and container of time. He sees the past, present, and future, all as an uninterrupted succession of events, but is not himself bound by that succession. I think that is amazing. Because it's true. This is who he is. He's sovereign, meaning he's supreme. God is absolute ruler because possessing absolute authority. Makes all decisions, does as he wills, and these, by virtue of his absolute authority, are always right. He's always right. No matter what we're going through or what we're being tested in, you can trust. You can trust. And if he's a part of that decision, then you're making the right decision. God is working out his plan. This is still sovereign and will achieve his purposes. He's omnipotent, meaning almighty. The Bible says this of God 56 times and of no one else. Absolute power means that God has the power to carry out what he sovereignly decides. God's power is power in himself, the creative source of power. Omniscient, all-knowing, all-wise, absolute knowledge, knows and understands all things, understands all things, understands all of our suffering, all of our trials, all of our hopes, all of our desires, all of our prayers, everything he understands. And he also understands and sees that secret sin, the things that we're fighting with and we struggle with. He sees all of it. And that should be like, ah, right? Omniscient, all-knowing, all-wise. I just did that one. Omnipresent, fills all space. Here he is. He's here. Fills all space. Sees all things, not bound by space or place. He's present everywhere at once. Now listen to this. This is kind of cool. Present everywhere at once, yet present in different places and times to varying degrees. So when he's here, when he's working on my life, because I have felt the presence of God. He's brought me to my knees. He's brought me to tears. He's healed my toe. And at the same time, he's in Africa raising up a nation and ministering to people. It's amazing. And that's all a component of his love. God is not just to be found everywhere. He is the everywhere itself. It's kind of cool. All right, these next few attributes, we share in these with God. Holy. No, I can't be holy. Yeah, you can. The Bible says to be holy, to become holy like he is holy. Meaning is light, God's absolute moral purity and perfection. He is totally other, opposite, separate, and innocent of everything impure. His presence immediately expels and judges sin. Just the other day I'm at work, somebody's in front of me, they cuss. Oh, I'm sorry. Because they know I'm a Christian. He does that kind of stuff. It's just kind of, it's truth. Has that ever happened to you? You're with people and they feel awkward because they know you're a Christian. And you're actually like doing the, you are a Christian. You're not faking it. You're really, your heart is there. You're trying. And you walk in the room and you just feel something different. I rejoice in that. I rejoice when, and then you don't judge. You know, it's like, hey, it's okay. You can say that in front of me. It doesn't bother me. And they're like, they think, but you're a Christian. I'm not going to judge you. His presence immediately expels and judges sin. And those who would know, look on, live with, that's us, it's you, must become holy themselves. So we're in that process of becoming holy. Because we know, look on, live with the Lord. He's righteous, just. All God's decisions and dealings are upright, just, true, equitable, impartial. All persons will receive full justice. Fair trial. This knowledge brings a meaning to the injustices of the present age. And that's helpful for me. Because sometimes I want to judge what's going on in the world or in other countries or the sin, the depravity of mankind. Do you ever feel that way? It's like, oh, those. Why is Syria doing that to the innocent people? Well, God's going to work all that out. I don't need to get worked up about that. I need to know that he's the final judge. We're all going to sit before him. We're all going to answer to him. and he's sovereign. And it gives me freedom. It provides freedom for us and the ability to love or look at things at a different angle. Gracious, meaning merciful. That God is love means that he desires and works for the good of you, of man. His grace and mercy means that he extends love toward those who do not deserve it. And perseveres in it even when it's spurned. That's a good lesson. Do we do that? Do I do that? Good. God is good. I say that a lot about God. The expression outworking of God's love in his dealing with man, that in God's person and works, which gives man the greatest possible blessing. God is good. Always good. God is truth. God is the source and measure of all truth. He cannot reveal anything false to us. Nothing ever. When he's telling me to preach, I need to preach. I don't like to, I mean, I don't say I don't like to, but like I said, it's like, Lord, no. Why is it always on my mind, you know? Why am I thinking I should be up here? Well, because God has probably got his finger on there, and he wants me to trust him, and so here I am. I've already said that, but that's true for all of us in whatever. You know, you walk down the street and you see a homeless person, and it's like, they scare me. I don't know. Is God asking you to go up and say hello? Hear their story. Not everybody can do that. You know, we're all gifted differently. But what is God saying? What is his truth to you? And are you obedient in it? If you're not, he'll keep coming back because he loves you that much. Okay, this is the last. This is the last one. Last attribute. It's my favorite. It's the essence. It's the bottom line. God is love, meaning compassionate. The defining attribute of God's person and the chief revelation of himself contained in his works. The heavens declare the glory of God. I mean, walk out. How many here thought of going out to look at the stars on a clear night or a meteor shower? And you're just like, it's so beautiful. God's love is contained in his work. He loves me, and I'm like overwhelmed with whatever it is. I don't know whatever it is that overwhelms you that is part of creation. Maybe it's a pond with slime on it. There's beauty in that too. Whatever it is, think of that as God's love toward you. Biblically, love is that which seeks the greatest possible good for another and which sacrifices itself to make this possible. God does not choose to be loving at a particular moment or toward a particular person. He is always and towards everyone automatically and by nature loving. He cannot be anything else. For God is love. It's pretty awesome. Okay, we're going to transition now to Scripture, to the Bible. And I just want to make a point that this 1,600 years, I think, to write this, if you look it up, 40 authors? No, there's not 40 authors in this book. There's one author. It's God. He wrote it. And the Scripture is a Scripture that is inspired, not the man, right? So it's not like all the writers in here, even Paul, I got so inspired, I'm going to write this letter to the Galatians and Ephesians. It's no. He was caught up in the Spirit, and God spoke to him, and he wrote. Do you see that? Do you see the difference? The Scripture is breathed out by God, not breathed into by God. Like, wow, just for you. Here are my words. Enjoy them. Do them. Allow them to change you. Seek them. God is the author. So that's the context that I want you to consider or understand as I read Scripture. Okay? 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For no prophecy..." This is Peter, right? He was pretty close to God. He's loudmouth. First sermon ever. The guy said he blew it all the time. And then the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes in this guy, and he's, boom, the first sermon ever preached by a preacher. I just think that's awesome. So Peter says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So every writer in the Bible was carried along by the Holy Spirit, the living God, when the words were placed on tablet or wherever they were placed. Genesis 1, verse 1 through 5 reads, this is the beginning, right? Creation. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw that the light was good." Light is good. I love light. You know, you go into a dark room, what do you do? And what does the light do? It expels darkness. You go into a cave that's dark, what do you have? I mean, light, you go out and you look at the sky and it's light. It expels darkness in the physical, but also the light of the Spirit expels powers and principalities. The light of the Holy Spirit in you, in the name of Jesus, gives you the authority and the power to expel powers and principalities in your life. 186K, I just need to do this. I love light. I've always liked light. I love the speed of light. And I think that God allowed man to measure the speed of light for a purpose. So just bear with me, all right? The speed of light travels at 186,000 miles. 186,000 miles in 1 second. That's fast, right? I know we've probably already lost it comprehension-wise, all right? So how far does light go in a year? 186,000 miles in 1 second, so you got 60 seconds to a minute, you got 60 minutes to an hour, you got 24 hours to a day, you got 365 and a quarter days to a year. So you multiply that by 186,000. It ends up to be like 6 trillion miles in 1 year. God said, "Let there be light." Our galaxy, "Let there be light," is 100 million light years across. Our galaxy. And it's got, we don't know, man does not know how many stars, but up to maybe 400 billion. Let me get my notes here, make sure I'm not, yes, 400 billion, just in our galaxy. "Let there be light." Boom! The universe is there. It's just amazing to me. Our Milky Way galaxy, okay, and the nearest galaxy, Andromeda, that's our neighbor, estimated 1 trillion stars in that. "Let there be light." Number of galaxies in the universe, we have no idea. No idea. Estimated billions. That God wants relationship with you and me. And it's truth. What a source of power that we have available to us. "The heavens proclaim the glory of God." Isaiah 60:19, God worthy of our worship. That's the theme here tonight. The sun shall be, this is just a couple verses regarding light. "The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory." 1 John 1:5, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." worthy of our worship. 2 Chronicles 15:12, the Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. Let there be light. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. You will find the one who is holy, who is righteous, who is gracious, who is good, who is love. And we find him. You can find him. You know what? You can find him. He's always there. Maybe it's a repentant heart that you need before. You just repent and you mean it and you pray. And he's going to be there for you. He will console you, talk to you, encourage you. He gave me peace tonight. He did. He gave me peace. I was on my knees before tonight, and I was asking for peace. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. That's the only one I want to be supported by. God knows our heart. He knows our struggles. And I don't think that's talking about making mistakes or total purity. God knows we're in a fallen world. And if you love the Lord, you love the Lord. You know you love the Lord. And that's what he's talking about. He's going to strongly support you. When we blow it, we repent, and we get strongly supported again. Matthew 19, verse 26, Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. With God, everything is possible. Now, the context of this, that rich young man, right? Jesus said, give me all your money or give it to the poor, and the guy couldn't do it. Remember that story? And then Jesus turned to the disciples and said, it's easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And the point of that verse is salvation. It's salvation can't be earned. We can have a lot of money. It's fine. But salvation is free. Eternal life is free. It's a gift. After I'm done. Romans 8:26. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. You ever been there? Like, you just whatever's going on, family member, job, you don't know what to pray for, right? But you're talking to God. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. This is out of the Life Application. At times, our weakness is so intense that we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. At those times, the Spirit voices our requests for us. He intercedes by appealing to the only one who can help us, God Himself. We may not know the right words to say, but the Holy Spirit does. That's awesome. That's worthy of worship. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good. Paul spoke in that. Memorize this verse, own it, believe it. Everything, all of it. To work for the good. At the end of all of it, it's going to be good. Really, I mean, I looked at the news tonight, and there's some bad stuff happening. Right? There's bad stuff. Bad stuff going on. At the end of all of it, it's going to come together for the good. It's an awesome promise. I just want to read this. What happens may not be itself good, but God will cause everything to work together for the ultimate good of his children to meet his ultimate purpose for their maturity. The point is, God works all things for good, not all things work out. Ephesians 3, verse 20 through 21. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, within you, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28. I will be with you, Jesus says, to the end of the ages. Acts chapter 2. Spirit comes. The end of Luke. You have the power of the Spirit in you. You have the power of the Spirit in you. To do what? Ask the question. What do you want me to do, God? Where am I the most uncomfortable, Lord? Okay. Holy Spirit, come. Where don't I want to be? Okay, Lord, I will go there. Holy Spirit, come. Be alive. Okay, we're almost there. This is more teaching tonight, I know. It's kind of a mix of preaching and teaching. But we're real close. Ephesians 6, verse 12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. God gives us a head up. Look around. That's flesh and bone. Flesh and blood, my wife. Is my fight against her? Never. You can never say it's their fault that I'm irritated. You can't. You can't back it up scripturally. Right? And we struggle with that. We do. Because we're in the flesh and we're full of pride and we're working this stuff out in our salvation. But, man, if you own that, it's like, no. I'm not going to speak into that. That's not my fight. It's the enemy. I'm going to honor God right now. I'm just going to zip it. Colossians 3:25, but if you do what is wrong, you'll be paid back for the wrong you have done. For God has no favorites. It's talking about the judgment seat again. Oh man, Lord, he was a lot worse than me. I don't think so. God's the final judge. All these things bring freedom as we walk them out and we try to live them out. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. We need faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. God wants to know you. He wants to know all of us. James 4, 7 through 8, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do we resist the devil? We understand that the Holy Spirit is a gift given to you by the authority of Christ, who died on the cross, who rose on the third day, who overcame this world and Satan and death. It's like those 3 days, Satan's going, yay! And all of a sudden, uh-oh. Plan backfired. He's risen from the dead. That's what we have in us, that kind of authority to resist the enemy, that wants to take us out, distract us, rip you off of relationships, closeness with God, whatever it is. He will flee from you. 1 John 4:18, 4:18, for such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. There's other versions that say the perfected love of God in you will expel all fear. That happened to me today. I'm kind of an example today, but it's true. His perfect love. It's like, Lord, help me, or Lord, I'm struggling. Holy Spirit, please come in. Bring me peace. The love of God comes in, and there's peace. And the thing that's wonderful about that is we can walk in that daily. The love of God in our hearts, no matter what the circumstance. It's repositioning our thought to God, requesting, petitioning the Holy Spirit. In whatever situation we're in, and you will have peace. It's a promise. All right, this is the last one. And after this, the worship team can come up after I read this. I want you to really listen to this verse, okay? It's a little bit lengthy, but it's a promise. It's a promise. And everybody's going to be here. We're all going to be here. And it's a description. It's out of Revelation 4. Verse 1 through 11. And it's our hope. Okay? Imagine. Imagine. We're using our minds, right? Imagine this. Really, really imagine this. This is the revelation of John. Take a drink of water. John's just a regular guy. He's on this island. They couldn't kill him. He loves the Lord. The Lord loves him. And then he's taken up in the Spirit. So here we go. This is John. Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven. And the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, "Come up here and I will show you what must happen after this." And instantly I was in the Spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. That's what you're going to see. That's what I'm going to see. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian. And the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning. Let there be light, and the rumble of thunder. Now, thunder is powerful. It's deafening. And in front of the throne were seven torches with burning flames. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes front and back. It represents knowledge and seeing everything. I think I read that. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a human face. And the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come." Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased." When we die, when you die, and you're sitting in that threshold, that door, I don't think you're going to be thinking, "Man, I tithe way too much." I don't think we'll be thinking, "You know what? I led just the right amount of people to the Lord in my life. The time I invested in the kingdom was just right." Looking at all this stuff. My disobedience was just the right amount. I told just the right number of white lies. I said no to God the perfect amount of times. You will not be thinking. We won't be thinking that. You guys can come on. I'm going to end in prayer right now, and I'm just going to read out of Philippians as a prayer over you, over us tonight. There's a lot of Bible tonight. I hope you're okay with it. I know you are. Made it easier for me, right? Because I could read instead of ad lib. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. It's for you. It's for me. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Remember, this is the word of God, the spoken breath of God. It's not Paul. It's Paul in the Spirit. "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Man, I got to get through this. All right. So I don't know what happened. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. I got like five more words. And the God of peace will be with you.
Thank you, Joe. That was incredible. So many wonderful examples of why we need to, why we want to, why we should worship God with everything we have. We're going to have a response time now. We're going to have celebrate communion and do our tithes and offerings. If you're a believer, you're welcome to participate in the communion. And if you're not, tonight's a real simple thing. It's not complicated. All you need to do is say, yes, God, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And then you're welcome to participate. We have the elements up here, two baskets in front and in the back also. And for those that call Westside their home church, we have baskets also for tithes and offerings. So let's stand as we worship one more time.